This is Sound Effect on KPLU. I'm Gabriel Spitzer, and our theme today is Crossing the Divide. So the South has its Civil War buffs, the Northeast has its colonial era sites, but what do history nerds in the Northwest have? We have Lewis and Clark. Lewis and Clark set out in 1804 to chart their way across a great divide, the unmapped North American continent. It's a story that can look very different from the point of view of natives than from whites, but it's still a major part of our founding myth of the Pacific Northwest. Julie Stein directs the Burke Museum in Seattle, and she's been in on some of the detective work around Lewis and Clark's activities, including, I have to say, what they were up to in the Loo. She explained how by the time they neared the Pacific, they were pretty ragged.
They didn't know how long they would be there. It was raining like crazy. I would imagine they were incredibly depressed. And according to the journals, they were very sick.
So when they did finally get there, they hunkered down at a site that became known as Fort Clatsop. How important is that as a historical site that might yield artifacts or some kind of insight into their story?
Well, in the story of Lewis and Clark, if they're moving fast across the landscape, they're probably camping along rivers. Therefore, their campsite was most likely washed away in the following spring. So if you were going to find a place that had the physical remains of Lewis and Clark, you would look to two forts. One of the forts at Fort Mandan is underwater. So Fort Clatsop is really the most likely place for us to find physical evidence of a campsite of Lewis and Clark.
So how much physical evidence of Fort Clatsop have we turned up?
None.
Why not?
Well, trees grow very well in temperate rainforests, and these trees grew in the forts and in the refuse piles, and they tipped over, they were burned, they were logged. And any physical remain of a campsite or a privy or a boneyard would be completely consumed by the roots of these trees and destroyed by the logging of those trees.
So what are some of the clever ways that people have tried to get around that problem over the years?
The National Park Service hired many archaeologists to look for other kinds of evidence. In the 1990s, the Park Service went back to look, and this is when I became involved. They found a pit that they thought might be the latrine, the privy of the Corps of Discovery. And one of my expertises is to look at the chemical signatures of humans in the dirt. Because when we live on the landscape, we drop a lot of phosphorus, phosphates, and
drop out of our bodies?
Well, that's a polite way. There's two different ways of dropping. You can drop garbage, which includes the bones of animals and plants, and then human waste, which also has a lot of phosphates in it. The second thing that they were looking for is we might be able to tell the difference between the latrine of Lewis and Clark and the latrine of all of the homesteaders that lived on this exact same landscape.
Oh, years later.
Yes. Uh-huh. So Lewis and Clark were taking a pill, and the pill was called a thunderbolt. And Clark was the one who ended up administering the thunderbolts until he had the desired effect. And the desired effect, from what we can tell, is that things were coming out of all different parts of your body.
That's what they were going for.
Yes, that was the desired effect. And it didn't matter if you had a headache or if you had a cold or stomach flu. You got pills. That was the only treatment.
What were in the pills?
There's Calumet, which is a laxative. There's Epicac, which we give to kids who accidentally swallow poison to make you throw up. Opium, or a form of poppy to kill the pain. One of the ingredients in the thunderbolts was a thankfully insoluble form of mercury. And it was thankfully insoluble because they would have been dead before they got up the Missouri if they were taking a soluble form of mercury.
So this is mercury, which is can poison you, but it doesn't get absorbed into their bodies. It passes right through.
It passed right through.
And into their privies.
And because it was insoluble, it stayed in those privies and on the landscape forever until it was carried away. However, none of the samples had elevated levels of mercury beyond the levels of outside the pits.
I thought this was going to be the key that unlocks the whole darn thing.
In fact, I don't think the pits are even privies at all. They're stumps of the forest. These stumps were burned and the roots burned into the ground and created little hearths.
Wow. But this mercury thing has worked elsewhere, right? I mean, further back on the trail?
There is one place along the trail at Traveler's Rest where...
Is this in... Where would this
Montana,
be?
Montana, just south of Missoula. And because there are not as many trees and the elevation is higher, there have been found evidence of hearths and a privy with elevated mercury levels that suggest... the first and only campsite of Lewis and Clark ever to be found.
That's the only one along the whole trail that has ever been verified?
Yes.
Wow. And it was all because of the mercury in their poop?
Yes.
So do you think that this mercury method has promise elsewhere in the Pacific Northwest, the areas that are wetter and closer to the ocean?
I don't believe that we are going to find Lewis and Clark's campsites because of where they camped in those ephemeral areas of long river waterways, dynamic geological places.
Is that going to break hearts across the Pacific Northwest?
No, it will probably motivate people more than they were motivated before.
What difference does it make to know exactly where something was or to have something physical and tangible?
There is an excitement that you get when you touch or see something that is so significant to your heritage. It inspires you and thrills you in a way that a replica just can't do.
Julie Stein's executive director of the Burke Museum here in Seattle. Thank you so much for coming to talk to us about the Lewis and Clark Trail, Fort Clatsop, and what may or may not have been in their privies.
Thank you.